a lot of people talk about entrepreneurship as a space where like you need to kind of make sure like everything in your life is set up so that you can really dive into the space. I don't know. Sometimes I feel differently, like because it felt like my life was just so shattered. I was like, whatever, what do I have to lose? And so I just started finding myself like running into a lot of roadblocks, but I kept finding myself like, this is not going to be the thing that brings me down. Like, fuck, I've been through a lot. This is not going to be what brings me down. People are not going to like bring me down. Like, we have a really strong ethos and focus on equity and how the sports industry is this amazing space where we can create positive social change in really cool, innovative ways. And like, I'm just going to let that be my vision, my unwavering focus. And we're going to like stand strong in that space. And as long as that is our guide, then it strengthens us to persevere through all those challenges that exist.
What's happening, beautiful people? Welcome back to the Thrive After Sports podcast. Folks, I have an incredible episode lined up for you today. And I don't say that lightly. This episode is with Teresa Friesen, the founder of SheMate. SheMate is a mentoring platform for female athletes. This is an incredible conversation. I know that Teresa's level of vulnerability and what she was willing to share today is going to impact so many people. We actually had to do a part two because some of the topics and some of the things that Teresa shared about her personal life, and we talked about loss and grief and mental health and all of these things that just came out naturally during our conversation, which I'm very, very grateful to Teresa for being willing to go there and willing to share. By the time we got to the end of the conversation, it didn't feel right for me to continue talking about business and entrepreneurship. It was just like, let's just leave this conversation where it's at for today and then schedule a part two. So you'll hear we had one recording and then we basically did a part two later in the week where we finished up talking about business and entrepreneurship. So all right, I don't want to spend too much time on this. Let's get into it. Go show Teresa some love. Visit the SheMate website. All the links are in the show notes. She's doing incredible work. For those of you guys tuning in to Thrive After Sports week after week, I appreciate you. Thank you for all your ratings and reviews on the podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel, like the video. I appreciate you guys. Can't thank you enough for all your love and support. It means the world to me, my Thrive After Sports family. All right, let's get into this episode with Teresa Friesen from SheMate. So Teresa, this is our first time meeting face to face after I don't know how many phone calls over the last year or two. Well, great to meet you.
It's good to actually talk with you like this, even though we're at a distance. It's nice to have the visual. So it's good to meet you in this way.
Absolutely. Put a face to the voice.
Yes, exactly.
So for the Thrive After Sports listeners, everybody tuning in right now, I've been excited for this conversation. Teresa, I don't even know if I told you this. Di McDonald, I think that's her last name. I don't know if that name rings a bell. You may not even know her, but she introduced me to SheMate like 2 years ago. And it was part of a pitch competition you were on. You've probably been on many. Gosh. It was a virtual one.
Okay. So
I don't remember the name, but anyway, she was like, hey, you got to check out what, you know, this lady's doing. Like, this company's cool. And I think it would be right up your alley. So I watch your pitch and then I start researching you, right? I'm stalking you. I'm like, this is a cool concept. I reach out to you. We end up having a conversation and we've been running together ever since. And I think this is just the beginning of things we could do together. But all that being said, for everybody tuning in right now, how do you describe SheMate to those on the outside looking in?
Yeah, absolutely. So SheMate does virtual group mentoring for athletes by athletes. We have a particular focus on working with women athletes as our mentors. So all of our mentors are women playing sports at college, pro, Olympic, and Paralympic levels. And we have spent a lot of time building and cultivating this athlete network and community. And now we are really excited to be branching out to kind of the other side where we connect the athletes that we are working with to young people looking up to them. So usually that's high school students, sometimes middle school students who are looking up to athletes who have kind of progressed a few steps ahead of them. And we make conversations with them possible. So we make them interactive and synchronous. And we do that all in a virtual space so that people get to talk with people who are in totally different locations, living different lives, and they would probably otherwise never meet.
So for obvious reasons, this is incredible and this is necessary and this is needed right now, especially in the ever-changing world of athletics, let alone, you know, women's sports. So the question I have for you is, why? Why did you decide to start this?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was kind of laughing when you said, like, you heard about this 2 years ago, because that was the very, very beginning. Like, not even as a business. It was just like an idea at that point. And so it's super cool to hear that that was where you first connected. And like the change that has happened since there has been really exciting. But it essentially came about from an event in Lincoln, Nebraska. And at this event, the University of Nebraska Athletics Department was talking about how they wanted to just recognize the inequitable lived experience between men and women in sport. They wanted to be honest about it, and they wanted a tangible solution to it. So first, I was really amazed and excited for a school to be like, hey, this is what's going on. This is the landscape. Let's do something about it. And that caught my attention. So I left that event, and I just started digging in. And of course, what I found is that that experience is not unique to Nebraska. That's everywhere. And so I just started going, okay, what can we learn in this space? I had been teaching as a college professor of sociology at a two-year college. And so I was already really interested in the systemic societal inequities, learning and like the research side. But I wanted to kind of like learn about it from the person side. And so I just started talking with women in sports. So I thought I would talk with some local athletes, but people all over ended up being really interested in diving into the conversation. And so I had hundreds of conversations with women in sport, college, pro, Olympic, Paralympic. And even though they were in these different levels, different sports, different locations, I started noticing two recurring themes. One is that they wanted to connect with each other. And two, they wanted to connect with young people looking up to them. And so from then to now, we dove into a lot of market research and testing and trying out different things. And essentially what we found is that this group mentoring kind of delivery is really the best way to go, because it builds this community of people who, again, would otherwise never meet each other. And they get to talk about things that are relevant and important to them, and really affirm each other, validate each other, and be like, oh yeah, I'm going through that too. Here's what's working for me. How are you doing? So it's really powerful, really amazing conversations.
That's awesome, Teresa. Now, I want to dive more into your personal journey leading up to this point. Like, I know you said there were some things going on in University of Nebraska that caused you to start to formulate this idea, and then speaking to more female athletes is what had you actually take action and start it. But what was your journey like? We can just talk about like after college, and or we can go back before then, but just your road to entrepreneurship. I think that's important for people to hear the backstory.
Yeah. And you know, it sounds a little cheesy, but I'm being completely sincere. I feel like I kind of found myself when I got into entrepreneurship. I had honestly never even thought about it prior to this company. And it's really an amazing space. In college, I majored in social work. I worked in nonprofits in Omaha, Nebraska after undergrad. And I liked it. I enjoyed it. And I decided, okay, if this is kind of my career path, I would like to dive in more deeply. And so I went to grad school, moved to Chicago. I specialize in school social work and cognitive behavioral therapy. So how our thoughts and our feelings affect our behaviors. And then I worked in rural Iowa. So I worked in schools, hospital, and, you know, it's a rural community. And so there were shortages of people in kind of the wellness space that resembles, you know, nationally, we have a shortage of that as well. But that was, again, true in that particular community. So I was wearing a lot of hats. And then the two-year college started a human services program. So I started teaching as adjuncts. And after one academic year, they brought me on as full-time faculty. So for the last several years, I was teaching at this college. So from undergrad through teaching, that's, you know, a 15-year span. And in those 15 years, I started recognizing that, you know, I'm talking on kind of a micro level with individuals about their wellness or barriers to wellness. And then in kind of the classroom setting, the teaching side, you know, we're talking about barriers to wellness as society, as a country. And so over those years, I started going, okay, these are all these like micro conversations or like conversations that are essentially dependent on other people being there for you and like connecting with each other. That's super, super important. But I started going, okay, how can we utilize tech to increase access to wellness? So if right now we're really focused on like finding people who can be supportive and there for us, that's great and important. But also we need to like figure out what tech can also do for us in expediting wellness. So that was kind of like a recurring theme that was going through my mind. Well, then the pandemic hit and I'm working remotely. And as I'm working remotely, I started going, okay, wait, how can we increase access to wellness through tech? And I just started like Googling. So instead of like driving to work or socializing with, you know, coworkers in the lobby, I would just Google, how do you start a business? And I had a lot of learning to do. I still do. Like, it's a big learning curve. But I started thinking like, okay, I want to infuse my career experiences into the business startup realm and like just thinking practically about how to do that. And so that kind of led me into this space. And that led me to essentially returning to Nebraska, to getting into like some more kind of thinking about how to build something out of my home state. That's where I was from. So it kind of lent itself well to that move. And essentially led me to like even being able to attend this event that I was talking about in Lincoln, where they started talking about, you know, the what they're seeing in the athletic space.
One of the biggest things that you shared that really stood out to me was how you were accumulating all this experience over time, which led you into, you didn't just like, you're like, I'm just going to be a tech founder. Like, not, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think it's important to take inventory of your skill sets and look at how you can actually make a difference in the marketplace before you go into founding something. And then when you talked about being in rural areas, how you felt that lack of, I don't want to say lack of community, but there weren't people who were thinking the way you were thinking, at least in terms of wellness. And so I think it's interesting that you are now the person who brings people together in a way that fosters community and like-mindedness. So one of the things that, as I was thinking about this conversation today, you know, everyone likes to talk about the glory of entrepreneurship and how wonderful it can be. I'm sure there were many. I know this is a loaded question, but can you talk about some of the challenges that you had, at least early on, just, you know, getting She Made off the ground?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's really important to know also like where my headspace was and coming into this. Like I mentioned, I had like a lot of curiosity and interest in exploring entrepreneurship, but there are a lot of reasons to not dive into that, right? Like it's an intense space and it's full of risk. It's like inherently risk filled. And I loved my job and I loved my colleagues. And so there wasn't like an immediate, you know, push for me to leave something that was good and secure and dependable. But I went through a major loss in my family. And very, very unexpectedly, my son died. And when that happened, my entire life shattered. And I had to dig deep into essentially how to restructure my life or even like build my life. Like there wasn't even like a rebuilding because the life I knew couldn't, you know, be replicated. I had to really think about, like, what do I do now? Like, I just kept finding myself going, like, what do I do? And that was also part of what led me back to Nebraska. You know, it wasn't just the professional, it was personal. And so digging deep into that, I found myself going, like, you know, all the risks or deterrents of entrepreneurship felt really basic as compared to the trauma and tragedy that I was experiencing. The, like, uncertainty and overwhelm and risk of startup felt like something I could do, because it kind of lost its power. Like, when I lost my son, that is the so debilitatingly painful. And I've just found myself like, well, what? Like, this stuff isn't going to bring me down. I'm going to try it. So I kind of went in with that mindset. Like, a lot of people talk about entrepreneurship as, like, a space where, like, you need to kind of make sure, like, everything in your life is set up so that you can really dive into the space. I don't know. Sometimes I feel differently, like, because it felt like my life was just so shattered. I was like, whatever, what do I have to lose? Like, might as well try this. So in the beginning, especially, I got a lot of backlash. Initially, I had started this business thinking it would be a women-centered NIL company, because at that point, NIL was just a couple months old for the college-level athletes. And that I thought, you know, hey, let's explore that a little bit. There's a lot of pushback because that was really messy and new, and everyone was trying to get into that space. And so I just started finding myself, like, running into a lot of roadblocks with that type of focus. And honestly, like, that was really hard, but I kept finding myself like, this is not going to be the thing that brings me down. Like, fuck, I've been through a lot. This is not going to be what brings me down. People are not going to, like, bring me down. Like, we have a really strong ethos and focus on equity and how the sports industry is this amazing space where we can create positive social change in really cool, innovative ways. And, like, I'm just going to let that be my vision, my unwavering focus, and we're going to, like, stand strong in that space. And as long as that is our guide, then it strengthens us to persevere through all those challenges that exist. So in the immediate, it was like, well, in immediate to present, like, challenges being things like revenue, of course, is difficult. Like, if and when you bring on investors and if their perspectives are aligned with yours or the company is, knowing that that's a long-term relationship where you're making a lot of decisions together. A lot of thinking about, like, okay, where do we kind of pinpoint our focus? Like, do we stick with NIL? Do we experiment with other ideas? There are a lot of things that we were exploring. From my perspective, I'm coming from, like, the social sciences world. So I'm thinking, like, okay, let's explore a lot of different possibilities. Let's utilize the data and information that we glean from our work to determine which next steps to take. Let that inform us. That perspective was not received by a lot of people. Like, they would say, like, just go with one, do it. If it fails, do something else. So, you know, there are a lot of different perspectives. And so I really had to both, like, continue to think, okay, what is my ethos and how do I stay with that as a guide? But then additionally, like, really focusing on my own wellness and going, like, okay, there are differing perspectives and that is okay. My perspective is valid. Here's how I communicate my perspective, and just, like, talking through that with myself so that I was engaged to handle those challenges that arose.
Before I say anything else, first of all, I'm sorry for the loss of your son. And I know words can only do so much. You know, sometimes I feel weird saying that to people because it doesn't change anything. But I mean, that I didn't know that about you. And you would never know that you had gone through something so painful just by speaking to you. You're, like, one of the most upbeat. Every time we speak, it's upbeat, it's positive. So I think that's a huge testament to how you chose to respond to that. You could have easily, like you said, shut down and just completely given up. I think a lot of people would and have, and they'd have every right to, but you've continued to persevere and you're doing something that's so impactful. I don't want to say just for so many women, like for so many people around the world, especially, and you're just getting started. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And, you know, the way I see it, and I'm sure you see it this way too, is that in a sense, you are honoring your son by the work that you're doing. So,
yeah. You know, I would like to kind of dive into that a little bit. Yeah, I appreciate you, and I appreciate your, I'm going to say your kind of your ability or your choice to kind of go into the depths of the pain. I know that that's a big part of like what you do in this work, and like willingness to let other people like be honest about their pain and suffering, and to think about what they need to do, what's right for them. And I think this is both like the power and challenge of things like these public spaces, because, you know, of course, like as I'm building a business that I love and I care about and has a lot of purpose for me, excitement for me, that gives me energy, that it gives me joy. And it's something that I'm like excited to talk about and share. It doesn't mean that pain doesn't exist, right? And there's this constant like dichotomy of both, where there's like this dissonance always. And I just share that because it's so true for so many. You know, it's so easy for us to like see someone else and make assumptions about their experiences or their lives. And I think, you know, social media, for example, is a really important place to consider that. Like even, you know, people who are closest to me, if they see any of my like public facing things, they'd be like, oh, good, all is well, right? And in a lot of senses, a lot of metrics, things are well, but it doesn't mean pain doesn't exist. And I think it's just important for us, especially in the sports industry where people are calling that out more and being honest about that. I think it's just a reminder, like one conversation is one part of a person, or one, you know, way that a person like is kind of showing up in the world is great, and we can celebrate that and support that and recognize that they are a full person with a lot of feelings and a lot of experiences, and it's good to dig into all of that. You said something about like shutting down, and my gosh, I'm just gonna keep going. Like my mom died of cancer when I was 21, and she was diagnosed like 7 months earlier, and I had no idea how to grieve as a 21-year-old. And for a long time, I pushed that away and I shut it down because I just didn't know. And I found myself like, oh my gosh, when I'm grieving, like I can't even function in anything. So I'm going to shut that down. So it took me like my 20s to like figure out how to like grieve and function in the world and feel well. And it's really fucked up that I had to experience such a major second loss. And when my son died, I like did not care to like be strong in any capacity. I just let myself feel what I felt and let it like pour through. And it was massively, massively painful and difficult. And also, if I didn't let myself do that, I would not be okay. Like I had to feel the pain, and it was just reflective of like this kid. Like, of course there's massive pain, and why would I try to be strong? Like, it's just a reflection of the pain and the loss. And so I appreciate like the, you know, recognition of like what I'm creating and the joy that it provides, both for me and like the purpose for what we're creating. And also just recognizing again, like, we all are, like, we are, our full selves are dynamic. There's a lot to explore there. And there's like this both and of experiences that we have. And it's not like an all bad or all good. We're always kind of teetering back and forth and experiencing all those different challenges.
This is probably one of the first times in the podcast that I've ever been speechless. Like, what can I already was in admiration of who you are and what you do, but this is, and it's the timing of this, like, so let me share this. I've been going through a lot recently, just in many different ways. And when I hear some of the things that you just shared, it's like, well, not that we should be comparing ourselves to others, but in comparison to what you just described and how you've been able to push through in spite of the pain and continue building, it's like, Tosh, bro, like, I mean, there's so much to be grateful for. Why focus on things that are going wrong? Or let those things, and I consider myself to be a pretty resilient person, but lately I'm realizing this through this conversation, I've been allowing certain things to drag me down that really aren't that serious. And, you know, in the big picture. So,
You know, and I think there's so much validity to that though. Like, recognizing things do drag us down, you know, they just do. Like, that's part of being human. Things bother us or they get on our minds or we fixate on something. That's super fair. It's part of our feels. Like, we're not robots. That's how it is. And so I always say, like, it, you know, it can be scary to like dive into that or let ourselves feel it. But when we do, it also creates that opportunity for us to find more inner peace and balance and be able to experience those joys too. I think if we're pushing down the pain, we're also not experiencing joy or not experiencing peace. When we push down one, our bodies don't know how to like accept the other. You know, it's finding that middle space where we can recognize all those pieces of us.
I wish we had more time. We'll have to have a part two of this conversation, but I definitely want to talk more about SheMate. But one question I have to ask you right now is, how do you have anything or any advice that you can give? Because as you know, you never know what someone's going through, and people are listening right now who are going through all sorts of things. And do you have any things that you do personally to sort of, like you said, experience the pain? Don't push it down, experience it. Like, what are some things that you could recommend?
Yeah. So, you know, because of, you know, what I've gone through, a lot of people say like, oh, you know, you're so strong, or how do you get through it? All these things. And honestly, a lot of people respond like, oh, I wouldn't survive, or like, I would be using whatever to calm my pain. And God, I get that. I get it. When we experience pain, it doesn't feel good, right? We want to push that away. It doesn't feel good. And the only way is feeling it, right? The only way. And when we push it down, again, we don't feel the goodness either. If we push out the pain, we get to the spot of like not experiencing joy and peace. I had to experience pain. And there were these times where like I refused to tell myself that I had to be strong, because I was like, for what? Like, for what purpose? I'm not going to try to be strong. I am deeply saddened. And I remember I was just crying so much that at one point I thought in my mind, like, I don't even understand how tears are coming out of my body. Like, how is this happening? Because I've like, how is this still going through? And it was like, God, if I try and like judge or critique my body or try and get it to do something else, I am like interrupting that natural way for my body to experience this healing and get to a point of what I'm going to call kind of equilibrium. So it's just feeling it. Now, when I say this again, I just want to emphasize, like, it is not easy, right? It is not easy to be honest about our struggles to ourselves even, right? Like, it's hard enough to say them to others, but even to ourselves, like, we don't want to feel it. it's very, very tempting to do whatever we can do to not feel it, but we have to. So you were asking about like what I like tips and things. One is that I was, again, not trying to be strong, telling myself like, I've already had to be strong. Like getting through this is being strong. Inherently, it requires me to be strong. So I'm not going to try in any other way. I'm just going to let myself be what it needs to be. And eventually I can practice being strong, but like I'm doing my best right now. Another is just, I have found myself like making sure that I'm like physically moving when I'm most consciously processing my pain. And I found myself having this visual, like, okay, all this pain inside of me is like right there and it needs a way to exit my body. Otherwise it's just so debilitating. And so I would go on these long walks, or I would go to the gym and get on some sort of cardio equipment, and I would think my most painful thoughts, all those feelings and struggles and grief. I would just like make myself confront it while physically moving. And I would think about how I was letting that, I'm going to call it stuff, that stuff exit my body in ways that felt really healing and re-energizing. And then third, I'm just going to say like to really focus on not judging ourselves, like knowing ourselves without judgment. Because of this loss, my husband and I divorced. I mean, we couldn't, like, we never got to a spot where we figured out how to be a couple again. And it's not because we don't love each other or care about each other. And we always say we will forever be family. But like, we didn't know how to be a couple because we're grieving. And like, how do we support each other when we need support ourselves? And so there's like another loss, another layer of loss and pain there. And if there's critique of ourselves or like judgment of ourselves during that, like, damn, that just catapults all the pain, right? So I think of it as like mountains. Like, here's our mountain of pain, whatever the thing is, things are. If we're adding in like these comments to ourselves of like, I should be this, I should do this, why aren't I this, I need to be this, now we have two whole things going on, right? This is hard enough. We don't need to critique ourselves as we're going through it. So just being really, really good to ourselves and giving ourselves a lot of grace.
I'm glad you brought up at the beginning about sharing personal things, because, and I'm obviously, you know, I'm very comfortable, as you mentioned, in that, in this realm, but it doesn't feel right for me right now to just be like, well, thank you for sharing all that. Now let's talk about the future of SheMade. So yeah. It doesn't have to be this week, but can we do like a 30-minute, because my vision for this is like, and this is great, by the way, and thank you for being willing to share this level of vulnerability. As I'm listening, I'm like, this is going to help so many people that I know who listen to the show. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of this conversation, like, is there anything else that you feel, based on what we've talked about so far, that you want to like share with the people, you know, or, and then we can talk about business the next time we meet up. Like, what's on your heart to share right now? I just want that stuff to come out.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I love SheMade for so many reasons. And one of those is because we create spaces for people to have conversations like what you and I are having. We make intentional times for athletes to come together and be like, hey, I'm super strong out there. I'm struggling. This is hard. I'm stressed about X. And for people to just like connect with each other and be like, yeah, I got you. This is what I would do, or this is what I have done, or like, I'm totally in the same boat as you. That's really powerful. And I think I'm just really honored to like be in that space. I don't want to convolute it. Like, we're not a therapy group, but we certainly are therapeutic. And it's been really great to hear about the takeaways that people have. And I'm just really honored and excited about the space.
Honored to have this time with you today. This was before, it's funny because, well, it's not funny, but before we hit record, you were like, Well, I can go into some personal stuff, or if you want to stay focused on career and business, we can do that. And I'm so glad that you were willing to go into the personal stuff, because I think you're making me realize that I need to have more of these conversations, or at least create the space for people to be able to share things like that. So I'm just honored, and I appreciate you being willing to go there, because you know as well as I do, everything you shared today is going to help someone.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I want to also recognize that you already are creating that space because I already felt like, oh, I can engage in this conversation in this time. And I think you and I both have gravitated toward like parallel work together because we recognize it's not just surface level stuff that we want to do. We want to do like really notable things. So thank you for already doing that, already paving that way.
Well, it's happening, beautiful people. I interrupt this episode very briefly, not to give you an ad, not to tell you to like or subscribe, but to tell you that we're about to get into part two of this conversation that Teresa and I are having, where we talk more about her business. Like I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, based on some of the things that you just listened to, you can see now why it didn't feel right for me to just immediately go back into talking about business and entrepreneurship. I couldn't do it. I said, let's reschedule, let's talk another day. And let's pick up where we left off. So anyway, we'll get into part two of that conversation. Enjoy the rest of the episode. All right, and we're back for part two. Thank you first and foremost for even coming back, Teresa. This is like,
Oh, of course.
where we left off, or where we were heading to last time we spoke, was just really talking about the future of She Mate. We can probably even go deeper into what, She Mate is right now, but I'd also love to hear just about your vision for the future, because I know you have some really exciting things on the horizon.
So right now, typically what we do is work with schools, clubs, who have high school level athletes, and we do a 5-week mentoring series with them. So for 5 weeks, the high school students usually are in a group of 10 approximately, and they do this virtual connection with our athletes. And so every week, a different 1 to 2 athletes from our community meets with them. And so they get to hear from people who are all over the country, living, different experiences, but all like having the shared understanding of balancing school and sports, balancing life and pressures that exist in these spaces. So they're really a great series. So that's kind of our most typical how we look right now. And this is the part that really we're on the beginning stages of. And it's really exciting because we're getting such great feedback that the work we're doing is necessary and important and beloved. And so that's amazing. And we're really excited to be offering that. And now we're expanding in that area. So we've spent a lot of time cultivating an understanding of what the sports world looks and feels like right now for athletes and what would make it feel better. And that's where we created this community of college, pro, Olympic, and Paralympic women athletes who want to connect with young people looking up to them. So we've really cultivated our athlete community. Now we're at the beginning of these 5-week series where the community that we have is now accessible to meet with young people. So they get to have these interactive, synchronous conversations. They're virtual, so they're really easy to participate in. And yeah, we're at the beginning stages and we're growing in that space. So then looking forward, we have some really cool partnerships that we're just at the very beginning stages of, and that will really help with increasing that access to young people. And then in the longer term, we're excited about really, I'm going to say, perfecting our model. And by that, I just mean, as we continue to get feedback from our users, our clients, people we're working with, our community about what works, what doesn't work, it helps us refine each of those points. And then this is the longer term, we can essentially replicate that model into other industries. So we want to be, laser focused into athletics and sports now. But that will also create an understanding of how we can connect, young people to people who are early in their careers or their studies in the things that they're interested in exploring. So we're already hearing from high school students who want to be, you know, doctors, lawyers, actuaries, entrepreneurs, and being able to connect them with, you know, people who are early in their careers and exploring those same pathways or in those studies will be a really cool way that we can advance.
That's awesome. I don't even think, maybe the first time we spoke, I don't know if that was on the horizon or maybe like, I don't really know this dude yet. I don't know if I want to share him. But that's impressive. That's a great avenue that you have, because who doesn't need mentorship no matter where you're at? Like you said, even if you're not an athlete, or just be able to have someone who can give you a trail of breadcrumbs or just share their experience. So what is that? This may be a dumb question, but I'm like wondering, what does that look like in terms of the branding side of things? Because if we're talking about, even if, you know, I think I asked you this before, when you're working with men at a certain point, men and women, what does the SheMate brand look like at that point? If you can share it.
You know, so as we're talking about this, I'm definitely like very focused on these kind of stages, these tiers. So again, right now we are really laser focused on connecting athletes in mentorship. So mentorship for athletes by athletes. And so these are just ideas for the future that we're considering. And the only way that those things happen is if and when our data informs that those are ways that we expand. We have indications that those are ways that the future will kind of, that is how we'll kind of pave out these next steps. But it's going to really depend on if that continues to point in that direction. So this is intentional and it's, you know, ways that we're kind of projecting our next steps, but it really depends on data and what we actually receive from clients as opposed to like theorizing it. And so in terms of the branding part, like there's no concern because right now that's what we're doing. We're doing this mentorship by women athletes. And this is really informed by a recognition that the lived experience between men and women in sport has just not been equal. And women athletes are not getting the sponsorships that they want or that they need. They're having to look for these opportunities to essentially like self-fund the things that are important to them. And so when we started thinking about how we make this work, we realized that one, their women should be paid for their work. We see a lot of problems in that space in many industries. And two, that we want the work that they do with us to be progressing their own brands, progressing their own, you know, resumes and readiness for their next steps. And so working with us is something that, you know, they can talk about in a job interview. They can talk about with a future employer. They can talk about on, you know, their social media channels and be really proud of. And so it's building not only our brand, but also theirs. And that's really, really important to us. So we are basically paying homage to women in the athletic realm from our name, from our brand. That also has potential to expand, again, beyond the sports industry. Because one of the things that we constantly find and is always reinforced is that all of us need much better positive representation of women on screen. There are so many ways that women are reduced to really kind of limited ways that we quote should live or act or be the way that we should look. It's so reductive, and we want to do much better in that space. The sports industry is a major, amazing way that we can get started with that, because the depth of women in the space is just so massive. There's so many different lived experiences, so many different ways where people are living their full authentic lives and that look completely different from each other. And so being able to like welcome that and have that be a really central focus in our space is just so, so important to us. So currently the branding all works. And again, I always focus on like following the data and what's in front of us. And so if there's a time in the future where we have to pivot away from that, it will be because it's an informed perspective. But I don't want to like make those changes right now when it's just a hypothetical in the future.
Understood. That was a very well explained answer. Yeah, essentially my summary of that is don't put the cart before the horse. So basically,
okay, yeah, I guess I could have just said that.
No, your answer was perfect, but I'm just saying I'm asking you questions and you're like, look, we're not even there yet. We're just focused on which makes sense. And when the time comes, like you said, you will pivot and do what needs to be done so you can continue to grow and impact more people. So
right. Gotcha. That's exactly it.
Copy that. You know, a really impactful conversation that we had a phone call probably 3 weeks ago at this point, and I was telling you about some of the things that I'm working on and sort of my vision for the future of Thrive After Sports. And I thought it would be good to ask you today just about what you shared with me, the difference between, well, so it's a two-part question, maybe even a three-part, but like your view on the difference between sponsorships and partnerships. And you touched on partnerships just a little bit earlier. And then for those people who are building companies or building brands, I think it would also be good for you to kind of explain your perspective on how you approach partnerships and even what you shared with me about how you set a very simple goal. You and your co-founder, it wasn't, we're going to go get 1 million partnerships. It was like we're going to make this amount of partnerships happen in this period of time. So yeah, can you just talk a little bit about your philosophy on partnerships?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you mentioned this also because after our conversation, I was talking with my co-founder about this and she was like, oh, I kind of disagree with you.
Really?
So it's important to recognize like there's a lot of nuance in these spaces. And so it's good to hear a variety of perspectives and like find out what works for, you know, different people. Like there's an importance in like sometimes having some rigidity, but there's also a lot of importance in having a lot of agility. And so both of those like being intentional in that. So to our conversation, the way that I think about partnerships, quote, versus sponsorship, when I think of partnerships, I think of people who are doing similar work in similar industries and working alongside each other with kind of this outward facing focus on working together to kind of better the experience of clients. So that particular is going to look different based on the companies and the partnerships, but thinking about how you're both kind of supporting each other as you're working alongside each other. Sometimes that's as simple as like co-branding and being publicly, you know, advocating for that company or supporting that company, or even like directing traffic or making referrals. Usually it's when, again, there's a lot of parallel, but you're not competitors. You're not doing the same thing, but you're in similar spaces. And so because you're in similar spaces, you just enhance each other because you're not trying to do the same thing. You're not competing. And so, for example, we just announced a partnership with Huddle, and Huddle does, you know, video work for millions of people, millions of clients, schools and groups in the athletic realm. And so they're so directly tied to the sports industry and to the athletic experience, but they're not doing mentorship, right? We are so embedded into the sports industry, but we're not doing video. So we're a really good alliance for working together and supporting each other without competing for the business. Where I would say that differs from sponsorship is where a sponsor is going to essentially pay for their branding to be in a space where they're aligning with both a company, like vetting that brand, but also in terms of the kind of shared audience experience. So looking for participation in a space without, I'm going to say like without doing the work almost. So like where your company is doing something that makes sense for them and fits with them. But again, like they're just wanting to have involvement there for a different reason. So for example, when we're doing mentoring with high schools, clubs, there's a price tag to that, right? So we are providing that, and schools or clubs are paying for that. Well, sometimes companies are like, hey, one of the things that's really important to us is to be a supporter of our local community. How can we support our local community? Hey, SheMate's out in our local community. They're providing mentorship to high school level students. How about we pay for students to be able to access that mentorship? So then there's that monetary component. So that's kind of the difference in how I think about it.
Now, which part of that did your co-founder disagree with? Just out of curiosity.
Her perspective was that they should be much more like integrated. So that when we're thinking about collaborative work together and we're thinking about like financially backing things, that those can or should be integrated. And so one of the ways that you kind of like demonstrate support is the dollar, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's just a way that that happens. And I will also say, like, my co-founder and I, we are a really, really good co-founding team. And one of the reasons is that we tell each other our perspectives. Sometimes we agree and sometimes we don't. And it's okay. Like, we support that. We make space for us to vocalize our perspectives. We think about them. We marinate on them. And sometimes we proceed in a compromise. Sometimes we go with one of our perspectives. And I think that's a really, really important part of this work, but it requires a lot. And I would say, like, it's hard for a lot of co-founders to kind of navigate those differences. But like, if you don't, it's, I think, even harder to build an effective company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd imagine you have a built-in system of checks and balances, like you said, that kind of keeps you both, I don't want to say accountable, but, you know, keeps you both in a space where you're not married to any one particular idea. You can kind of, but you know, it's funny you bring that up, because I probably, and you know this, before we had that call, the lines were blurred for me. And that's why I wanted you to share that right now, because that may kind of give someone else a different way of looking at it. Yeah. I think really since I've been in business, or since I started establishing partnerships or sponsorships, I've been looking at them as the same thing and treating them as the same thing, versus if you can separate the two, it's like, whoa, there's this whole world of other opportunities that were right under my nose that I wasn't considering. And to be honest, from my perspective, a lot of time, because there wasn't a dollar amount attached to it.
Yeah.
And because the two worlds were blended, I'm like, well, if I'm not being compensated, then there's no partnership and clearly no sponsorship, versus there are different ways to do things. And truthfully, I feel kind of dumb for not like realizing that right off the bat. But I say all that to say, your perspective really helped me. And as it's only been 3 weeks and I've already got some good solid partnership and sponsorship conversations back in motion.
I love it. I love that. That's awesome. I think that there's so much humility in the entrepreneurship space. Like, you have these moments and something hits you and you're like, oh wait, I should have been doing that. Or like, that makes a lot of sense. Why didn't I do that? And there's such a good opportunity to be like, okay, wait a second. I've been working really hard. I'm doing my best. When I receive information or when I receive ideas, I can criticize myself, or I can be like, hey, that's helpful information. I'm going to take it and run with it. So I absolutely love hearing that, like, already you're getting these partnerships. That's super cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your insight on that.
And, sure.
We're on the note of talking about humility and entrepreneurship, you know, for those current or aspiring entrepreneurs tuning in, can you give another example of, I don't want to call it a lesson, or maybe something that you learned, or something that, you know, kind of hit you and had you looking at things from a different perspective since you've been on this journey?
Yeah. I think one of the things that comes to mind is that because this is a new space for me, I'm just constantly realizing that I just have a massive learning curve. There's so much for me to learn. And when I started, I really thought of that as a deficit. And inherent in that means I wasn't recognizing like all the things that I could contribute. I was just thinking about all the things that I didn't have. And so since then, I've recognized, okay, wait a second. I have, you know, my particular skills and interests that I'm contributing. If I try to be an expert in all the things, I'll never do as well as when I engage with a collaborative focus where I bring multiple people to the table, where we all can hear each other's ideas, offer different perspectives, and then make choices that make sense. And so I've been shifting into that with this, like, this again, humility and mixed with confidence. Okay, here are some things I can offer. Here are some things I don't know, who might be a good person to talk to with that. So that's, I think, been my really big and really helpful shift.
That's good. I don't even have any feedback on that one. That's good. I'm just excited to listen to that.
Thank you. I'll tell you, like, also a little story of my aha in that moment. I was at this networking lunch and I was sitting across the table from a billionaire. And in this conversation, we were talking about some business things, and this person said to me, like, oh, I don't know anything about that. This billionaire said that. And in response, I said, like, oh, I hear that. A lot of times I find myself going, like, oh, I don't know anything about that. So who can I bring into this conversation so that we can figure this out together? And he was like, oh, I never thought of it like that. He was like, oh, wait, what do you mean? And he was like, well, I always think, like, oh, here's a problem. I have to figure it out. Here's what I don't know. I need to find the answer. He's like, it would be kind of cool to, like, bring multiple people in who could, like, figure it out together. So, like, he and I were both, like, coming to that conclusion at the same time. And I found myself being like, oh, everyone's on a learning journey, right? Like, we're all figuring this out. And there are always moments where different perspectives hit us and we're like, oh, hey, I can use that. That's a really helpful way of thinking, or like helping us be introspective, going like, oh, I was really set in my own ways, but there are multiple ways that exist. And what can I learn from that?
Yeah. And I know, you know, we've all heard the saying, you can learn something from everybody, no matter where they're from and no matter what walk of life. But I know that it probably had to feel pretty good for you to school a billionaire like that, right? Just a little bit. I know, did you feel proud at least a little bit in that moment? Like, I just taught this person something.
Maybe.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, Teresa, I know we're coming up on time. Thank you for doing a part two. The part one was so good. It's going to be the same episode, so people are listening all in one shot. But I know that between our last conversation and what we talked about today, this is probably going to be one of the most listened to or favorite episodes of all time on Thrive After Sports. So the bar has been set high for future guests. Before we get out of here, where can people tap in with you, learn more about SheMate? Where do you want to point people to?
Yeah. So our website is a big focus, SheMate.club. And we have just, I'm going to say, restarted our Instagram. Because we're a lean team, we found that we are focusing really heavily on our community, which is important. But we have a lot of stories internally that weren't being shared publicly, and we realized Instagram is a space where we could do better. So that's rebuilding. So that's also SheMate.club. And then also I'm happy to connect on LinkedIn. LinkedIn has kind of been like my place to both share like the development of SheMate, but also kind of building publicly. So like recognizing like these little pieces that come together to create. And it's been this unexpected place to meet a lot of people who are in this realm, but also in like other spaces. So it's a spot that's kind of been unexpectedly special for me. It's where you and I connected. So Teresa Friesen on LinkedIn.
Perfect. And all of that will be in the show notes. If you guys want to make it simple and just scroll down or wherever you're watching or listening, all of Teresa's info and SheMate's info will be right there. Teresa, again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing with the Thrive After Sports family. Folks, we'll see you on the next episode. I'll see you later.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.